I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. I'm speaking with Scott Ewing, who is artistic director of the Ohio Song Project, about the Ohio Song Project's first ever public concert coming up on March 9th, 2019, and featuring a program of music by contemporary women composers. In full disclosure, this is a concert that I also will be performing on as a soprano. Scott, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You actually created and founded the Ohio Song Project. What was the inspiration for that?
Absolutely, a love for the music. So we're working with art song repertoire, which has been near and dear to my heart since I was an undergraduate in music school. I've always been sort of bothered by the fact that it doesn't get much of a public platform. You see it performed a lot in universities, but we don't have many opportunities to go and see a concert of art song put on by artists who love it. So I saw a need in the community. I saw organizations in other communities doing it and doing it well and succeeding. And I thought, why can't we have something like that in Columbus?
Why do you think it is the case that art song doesn't get, as you put it, so much of a public platform?
I think it just lives in the shadow of bigger genres, right? I mean, opera, of course, is as wildly popular as classical vocal music can be. And art song being so much smaller and less spectacular, you know, I think it just doesn't quite get the attention from the classical music industry, as it were, that it, you know, should and could.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the March 9th concert of the Ohio Song Project will feature a program of music by women composers. What was your inspiration for that idea?
It started, I think, with the artists that I've spoken with and I know. So all the artists on this program have been people who I know to champion music by women. So we're welcoming Carrie Jennings, who has been really doing great work in recording art songs by women. If you look him up on Google, you'll find he's done record after record of beautiful art songs by women. Soprano Deborah Rentz is coming in. She was a teacher of mine when I was in school and introduced me to a lot of the art song repertoire in general, and also loves music by American women in particular, and mm-hmm. and then yourself.
A city boy, I'd never seen a grove burst in full flower, or breathed the bittersweet perfume of blossoms.
You mentioned a moment ago that art song is that much less spectacular than opera, in the sense that opera has staging and scenery and costumes and full orchestra. Art song is a much more intimate kind of thing. It's usually just a singer or two with piano or some sort of chamber ensemble. But, you know, it's interesting because I think we live in a song culture, in a sense. When you think about popular music on the radio, it's almost entirely songs. So where do you think art song potentially has a home in this song culture?
Well, I think it's the fear of classical music is a thing. It's a real thing. You know, people will of course, yeah, listen to their favorite popular songs and hum along and know all the words. They memorize all the words and know it by heart. But there's something, I think there's something intimidating about entering into the world of classical music for people. Actually, I'm glad you asked that question because art song, I think, because it has so much in common with the music that people are already listening to if they know nothing about classical music, I think it's a really great entry point for people to start appreciating the genre a little more so they can get in on that level of really understanding the text and not having to deal with it within a huge form like opera, right? Whereas an art song, most of the time you've got maybe, what, 3 or 4 minute chunk of some text and some music, and you can sort of do it without being scared by it.
So in a sense, any art song program is as much about poetry as it is about music. Could you talk a bit about how you see poetry and music working together in this genre?
Yeah, I think the first thing to know if you're someone who's going to perform art song is it's only as good as its text, and the text is the place where you have to begin. So that's the first thing. You have to start with the text, and then the text is going to inform all your musical choices, basically. The beautiful thing about an art song is you're getting to see, in a way, you're getting to see a very sort of honest and organic reaction to a poem by a composer. And that's where I think it gets really interesting, is you have these two, at least two factors coming together. This composer read a poem and felt moved by it. And now we get to see through their music how that poem maybe made them feel or what they think the poem means. And of course, that's all open to lots of interpretation. But you start with that sort of kernel of the poem inspired the whole thing.
Let's talk a little bit about the songs that will be on this concert, this March 9th concert. Lori Lateman is an American composer who is really known for her songs. Two of her songs are on the program. One is a setting of Dana Joya's poem, The Apple Orchard, and the other is Lateman's setting of John Wood's poem, On a Photograph.
Oh, they did not stand close. close to each other, and though they stared from their machine indifferently, distantly.
You will be performing these songs with tenor Kerry Jennings, so tell us a little bit about them.
We put these first on the program, and I think people are really going to relate to them easily. You think of new music, you think of music composed in this century. And I think if you've followed new music, you think, oh, this is going to be challenging to listen to. I'm going to be hearing jagged sonorities and dissonances and crunchy things. And there's really not that in this, which I really like about it. Musically, these are very easy to digest. So I think they'll be really accessible and a really great sort of starting off point for the concert for people who are new to the genre.
And a lot of the music on this concert actually has that melodiousness, for lack of a better word.
One of the works that I'm really excited about is the cycle by Libby Larson, My Antonia. This one is really great because it does have moments that are going to challenge your ears and make you sort of perk up and think, oh, what did I just hear? But all of those moments within a little while, a certain amount of time, right, they're going to give in to some more of this lush melodiousness, as you say. They're going to find a really nice balance between the angular and the stark and the scary almost at times, with these just beautiful, warm sort of clouds of friendly sound.
Jennifer Merkowitz's set of three songs, Let Evening Come. This is one of the sets that I will be singing. You're at the piano on these. How did you come to select Jenny's songs?
We did some work with Jenny back in July. She wrote a piece called Ellis Island for tenor, clarinet, cello, and piano. And we performed this at a house concert we did back in July. We really just sort of fell in love with her style. And I thought, Jenny really has something here. I think she's really got a knack for how to write for the voice and how to tell a story through that medium. And so when we decided, well, we're going to do music by women, I immediately wrote to her and said, what else do you have? She said, well, I have this Let Evening Come that I wrote. I forget exactly when she wrote it, but sent it over to me. And I took a listen to it and played through it and thought, this is so expressive and beautiful. We have to do it.
Gwyneth Walker's cycle, The Sun is Love, sets poems by Rumi. You will also be performing these songs with soprano Deborah Rentz. So what are these songs like?
Oh, they're lush. They are sensuous. They are so, I think, universally appealing. A lot like these poems, right? If you've read poems by Rumi, you know that you read the poem and you almost instantly feel something invariably. And Gwyneth Walker has set them in such a nice way. There's beautiful, beautiful textures in the piano part. A lot of very sort of fast-moving, almost watery sort of motives. Lots of colorful chords. The vocal part is wonderful because it comes off, at least if the right person sings it, and Deborah Rentz is certainly the right person to sing it, it just comes off as just effortless, like just as easy as I'm talking to you right now. And so, yeah, the poems, of course, mostly, if you had to boil it down, you'd call them love poems, and they are pretty easy to understand love poems, emotions I think that anybody who's been in love can relate to. And it's a beautiful work. I'm so excited to perform it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just from the standpoint of being thorough, the final work on the program is Melissa Dunphy's Hervarek Vida. I'll be singing on these songs, as I mentioned earlier, with harpist Jeannie Norton and violinist Devin Kopfer. And these are just, I think, tremendous songs that, in a sense, followed the trend that Schubert set hundreds of years ago, in that they really turned songs into mini music dramas. Now, don't get me wrong, they sound nothing like Schubert's songs, but they have just a profound dramatic impulse, and Melissa's music just really bursts through the seams and goes with that dramatic impulse, I think, quite spectacularly. These are the only songs on the program that are not accompanied by piano, and I think it puts a whole different kind of spin on art song to have, you know, art song accompanied by these instruments, which are being treated very unusually. So I think it'll be kind of a texturally interesting piece as well for the ear to hear those songs at the end.
We had the luck, if you can call it that, of having been in love but never lovers.
You mentioned earlier that you fell in love with the art song repertoire. What is it about art song that speaks to you personally?
I think it's the honesty, maybe, is the word. Honesty, intimacy, transparency. I always tell people, okay, if you like classical music but you don't know about art song, pick your favorite composer. Even if they pick Beethoven, who isn't particularly well known for his songs, you can go back and listen to Beethoven songs or read Beethoven songs, and you find, I think it's a great way to sort of distill and get to know a composer. I'll use Beethoven as the example again, right? We know Beethoven's symphonies, we know Beethoven's piano sonatas. They're these sort of like gargantuan masterworks, right? But then you can go and listen to a two-page song by Beethoven, or he wrote the first song cycle, An die ferne Geliebte, to the distant beloved. And there's moments in this of just real honest expression of like I said before, a composer reacting to a text and feeling something from a text that you get in the songs of Beethoven or name any other composer. So you get to know them, I think, for what feels to me like on a very personal level.
And you've got a person singing to you.
Yeah.
You know, which is very, very intimate. And then what is it about Art Song that you think can speak to other people?
I would come back to the text again, I think. People say music is the universal language. I don't know if that's true, but I do think feelings are a universal language. And I think when you've got a well-written poem and a well-composed song, it can be such a direct communication of emotion, of feeling to people. And if you've got the right mindset and you're open to it, I think it can be so much more effective and direct and clear than a larger piece of music like I mentioned, symphony or sonata before, right? So yeah, it's this immediacy, I think, of it that was always appealing to me. I can't speak for everyone. I hope people get that too. And I think if you're a listener watching a really well thought out and expressive art song performance, you really feel like you're a part of the creative process, especially if you're close. It just really invites you in and you feel that emotional connection, I hope, to the performer and all the four parts.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of sort of being close to the performers, the March 9th concert of the Ohio Song Project is at the Angela Maleka Gallery downtown, which is a very intimate space. It's obviously not a concert hall or, you know, a recital hall. Mm. How did you come to select that particular space?
So we want intimate spaces. That's sort of the whole goal of this thing. We knew we wanted small spaces. We've been working with Justin Johnston, runs a group called Side Hustle Syndicate, and he's sort of been helping introduce me to different venues around town who want to have more events like this. Angela Maleka Gallery was one, and I walked in and saw the space and heard my voice ringing off the walls, and it was just, I felt like this is such a nice place. It's not too large, that we can still preserve that intimacy, some of that intimacy that you might have in a concert in someone's home. So we want to preserve that intimacy in any way we can, you know, even as the project grows and we get hopefully more of a following and more interest and we want to move into bigger spaces. Our main priority will always be, in what ways can we preserve that intimacy? And the gallery is a great place for that.
What more could I have wanted from that day?
Scott Ewing, once again, you are Artistic Director of the Ohio Song Project. The Ohio Song Project's first performance is on March 9th in the Angela Maleka Gallery in downtown Columbus and features a program of music by contemporary women composers. I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.